First of all, I did send out 3 updated documents last night, and one I think already needs to be updated again, but just to draw your attention to what they are. The first is a updated tally sheet, but since then we've gotten two things. We're getting a submission from Tony Harris on suggested studies, the priority listing from the ISPs, who are recommending that certain studies be done, and we should be seeing his submission shortly. It may be in your email, but just not in mine yet this morning. Secondly, we have a clarification from Norbert and the NCUC that understanding that the way we've approached this group is to ask the question about whether studies should be done, not assuming that the council will conclude that some studies will be done. They've changed or modified their submission to say that, in their view, no further studies should be done. So I need to do another update of the tally that reflects the ISP's submission and that also corrects and updates the NCUC submission. Are there any other changes to... Oh, and then what I may do, although we need to have some discussion about this, is let me go to the documents, continue on with the documents first, and we'll come back to that. In the second document, what I did was update the summary that previously had been done by Lori and I and then subsequently updated to add sort of the rationale for the study submissions that had been provided from the public. I also took a shot at including each of the GAC recommendations in that and looking at that as kind of a master spreadsheet at this point of the recommendations that are on the table. So I created a new Category 8 that is other GAC recommendations. And the first 3 items are actually somewhat related because they all involve data gathering. The 4th is GAC recommendation 3 about technical measures. So we actually could, and I'll throw this out for discussion. I know it's more relevant to those who think further studies should be done than to those who don't, but we could update tallies to reflect your votes on the GAC recommendations that are not otherwise covered in other categories. If you think that there are recommendations, that any of these 4 recommendations, warrant inclusion, then we'd probably want to ask you all to redo your tallies to include this Section 8 as well. So we need to have some discussion on that. And then third document that I set out. Oh, the report. So we do need to produce a report to the council, and we talked on the last call about the idea that the report is going to reflect these divergent views, and that we would, the recommendation of the group was to try to do one report, which makes sense to me. And so I took a stab at what the overview and background section would be, and, you know, totally appreciate anybody's input about, you know, it's attempting to be just a factual representation of what's transpired, and so all suggestions are appreciated. With a document like this, we always wonder how much background to provide, and, you know, we could write a book on background on who is. So if there's any historical, really significant things that have transpired that I omitted, that would be something we should pay close attention to or try to identify so that we make sure the report is inclusive. And then I'll be adding information in the annexes that will simply be the resolutions that the council has considered related to studies of who is, because there's been actually a couple of them since October. We have one postponing the dates and things like that. And then also the GAC recommendation document. And some of our backup documentation will be included in that annex, and then Annex 1 will have the tallies in it. But what's also very important for us to talk about today is how Sections 2 and 3 are going to be completed, and in particular how they're going to be completed with the time that we have remaining. So hopefully you all also saw Wendy Seltzer's couple of paragraphs, which would go in Section 2, or, you know, some edited version would go into Section 2, and again, I'm looking for volunteers to add or augment Wendy's statement, which I can insert in section two, so that there's a complete description of that viewpoint, and then I'm looking for a submission from those who think that further study should be done that hopefully, ideally, also coalesces around specific studies, and a priority that can be broadly supported, at least by those that think studies should be done. So those are a summary of the three documents that I've sent around, and also I think I've hit the highlights of what we need to discuss today, and why don't I pause there for general comments, and we can get into a little more detail.
Can I get into Liz?
Yes.
Tony Harris?
Yep. Anybody else before?
Steve Metallin.
Okay.
Eric Brenner Williams.
Others? Okay. Tony?
Yeah. I've got a problem. It's I'm sure it's my fault in my email server or whatever. But I can't seem to pull up Wendy Seltzer's comments. I don't even see an email from her. Is it very, very long? Could you read it out, or is it sort of,
Oh, I'll read it, and then Glenn can make sure that you have it as well. It was sent yesterday evening my time, and she's just noting that she, with apologies, she can't make the call. And then she wrote a recap of some of what she said on the calls opposing any further study. So I'll just read it quickly, and Glenn, if I could ask you to forward it to Tony to be sure he's got it, that'd be great. And my thought would be that we would, for those who support this viewpoint, she's writing it in the I, as her view, but, it would get rewritten as the collective view of that percentage of people that feel that way, which I could do the editing, but I want to make sure it's, what you all want to say. So this is what she said so far. I object to spending any of ICANN's registrant-derived funds on further studies of who is. The primary barrier to resolving who is / privacy issues is not lack of data, but lack of political will. So long as those who are happy with the status quo of full published access to registrants identifying information can maintain that status quo by blocking consensus around any changes, they will do so. Requesting further studies, in quotes, is a way of retaining status quo while appearing to move forward. Until we can resolve a way around that blockage, further studies will not advance the policymaking process. They will simply be subjected to the same spin, accepted by those whose agendas they further, criticized by those on the other side. Even well-engineered studies with strong conclusions have no compelling force against the interest group politics that has been going on for more than 7 years so far. Thus, without concrete commitments from constituencies to modify their policy agendas in response to studies, the council should reject any further digression. So this is Wendy. It is consistent with what Wendy has said in the past on the topic, and this is what she's putting forward as text that could go in that section too. There are a number of participants on the call who articulated, a consistent view to that, and so it's very important to me that they look at this language carefully and add or edit in any way to make the, arguments as to say whatever you want to say about this this point of view.
Does this mean that some constituencies support this viewpoint?
That's right. So, Tony, I know you've missed a lot of the discussion to date, but, without giving statistics, because I don't even have the numbers, it's roughly half of the people who are participating in this working group or drafting group do not think that further studies are useful.
These would be the no's on your tally sheet.
And these are the no's on the tally sheet, right.
Okay, fine. Thanks.
Yeah.
That's
just me. Yeah. So, Steve Metallis, you're next.
Yeah. I was going to say I'd be glad to volunteer to put together what I think you have down as part three of the report. I'm a bit nonplussed, though, because we seem to have such a moving target as far as this your tally sheet. And I guess I just want to understand the two changes that you talked about right at the beginning. One was Tony Harris's new list, and I have a question for Tony about that. And the other was Norbert Klein's email to you, which I went back and looked at. And is your understanding that what What are you planning to do in response to Norbert's email? Are you planning to just list no all the way across? For
I'll let Norbert speak to what he wants, but that was my understanding of what he wants.
Yes, that is my understanding. And because somebody, that the paper from Wendy is not yet received, so the mail server of the Genital Hoonies group.
So it will be no all the way across for Robin and Norbert?
Right. So that's the NCU. The NCU, she has a...
Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. And then my question to Tony is, since we just got your votes about 15 minutes ago,
mm-hmm.
Can you explain why your constituency thinks that the Who Is Accuracy work is not duplicative of what is already going on in the compliance audits? Because that was the issue we discussed extensively on the last call, or we mentioned on the last call, and I think we discussed it earlier, that no one's opposed to studying who is, or at least we're not opposed to studying Who Is Accuracy, but those of us who ranked it low thought it was already being covered by the audit, and therefore this would be duplicative. So what is your constituency's view on that? Because I see you ranked it first.
Well, this was done in consultation with a constituency, and some people, specifically lawyers in the group, consider this to be a good subject to pursue. But I can go back on that if you want, because you may have a good point there.
Yeah, I'm just raising the question because...
We didn't... Basically, our position was we've always been consistent in pointing out that accuracy is a major concern. And the constituency rather wanted to keep the same line of support, and that's the reason it was ranked first. But you have a good point there, and I can probably push back on that.
Okay, well,
that's no problem.
Yeah, yeah. As I said, I mean, assuming now that I think I know what the chart will look like, I could certainly put together a few sentences, which I think, or a paragraph or two, which I think we're talking about something very brief here, aren't we, Liz? To be in section 3, I think it is, of your report.
Yeah, and Steve, I want to make sure. Can you also then? Has there been any effort across among those who do think studies should be done to, you know, get to a consensus about which studies? Is that achievable?
Well, I think things stand is that again, this was prior to these last two changes, so I don't know if this makes any difference. Is that 2 and 7 were dropped off? And that the others, I think you could just kind of look at where the general rankings are. 3, 4, and 6 had support, and some aspects of 1 and 5 had support. So that would kind of be the thrust of what I would say. I'm not, you know, necessarily setting priorities. You know, I'm not listing those in an order necessarily, but just to say these are the areas that we think you should go ahead. Liz, there's a limit to how much effort to put into this when we have a situation that constituencies who voted to have further studies and to have this process initiated to look at what further studies are now saying no further studies should be held. So that's the reality. So why don't we report that, report what those who are following what the council asked us to do, what we think. And then let the council make the decision on the next step.
Liz, can I get in there? If possible, it's Stefan van Gelder speaking.
So I want to get to Eric.
Okay, sorry, I didn't realize.
Oh, yes, definitely. Does anyone else want to be in the queue?
Yeah, Tony Harris put me in afterwards.
Okay, anyone else?
Steve Del Bianca.
Anyone else? Okay, Eric?
Well, to take things in reverse order, Steve said that everyone supports accuracy. I can't think of a registrar who does, with the possible exception of the representative from Iron Mountain, and I really don't know if they're speaking as a registrar or as a escrow provider.
Actually, let me just make one comment about Iron Mountain. Krista has dropped off the group, and her vote report, or her recommended tally, has also dropped off at her request.
Thank you. That removes that. So to respond to Steve's all, well, it's an all without any registrars. I won't speak for the registries. The tabular summation, the first item of your mail, I'd appreciate it if it was aggregated by constituencies, so that we can actually see the interest group politics more clearly than presently. The registries are shown at the top, but the registrars and the IPC and the other participants are not shown with their sort of their constituency affiliations shown. And then finally, looking for a drafter of Section 2, Wendy's done a reasonably good job. There are things I'd add, but, you know, I'm sure there are things everyone would add.
Okay.
And that completes the comments.
I'd like to make a couple of quick comments, and then we'll go to Stefan. Just one thing on the tally and grouping tallies by constituency. Yeah. I think, you know, we haven't done that in part because not even within the constituencies there hasn't necessarily been exact consensus, and because we didn't build the working group, who is study group, with an effort to define people in that way. It was come one, come all, everybody gets a, you know, chance to weigh in with their ideas. So that would be a change in the way that we approach the tally. And it might require constituencies, individuals, to get together and try to represent a constituency viewpoint who haven't been doing that in the past. So what I need to know is whether that's an important enough step to go back and ask people to do that, Eric. You know, or whether you can discern enough from what I could do, you know, more easily perhaps is identify what each person's affiliation is, the degree they have one, on the left-hand side after their name.
That'd be good.
And maybe that would be an easier way.
That'd be good. I mean,
everybody okay with the affiliation being added?
Yep.
Okay, thanks. Stefan.
Yeah, thanks, Liz. Just a couple of general points, going back to some of the things that were said, that we said last week, and some of the things that I said last week, and moving on from what one of the previous speakers, I forget who it was, apologies for that, said. I'm getting slightly worried that we're moving back and forth but not really moving forward with this now, and I'd really like to push for us to close this process. And as someone suggested, just let the board take it up from here. And with regards to the document that the draft document that you circulated, the report to the council, which thanks for doing that. I think that's a very good way to a very good document because it's concise. If we could just include in there, and you've put that in Annex 1, I believe, the list of the votes or the recommendations or whatever you want to call them that each member took, and with the affiliations as you just discussed. We've got really the two viewpoints already, partly through Wendy's work and partly through some of the other suggestions. I don't know what we're planning from here on, but I would certainly recommend we start to wrap up and just send that to the council. It's obvious that we're not going to reach consensus on, I mean, some of the arguments that we're hearing are very strong arguments. Wendy's arguments, for example, are very convincing in the fact that this has been going on for a long time, and it does seem like some people are using this kind of process to stall. It does seem that other people are genuinely interested in new information that could come out of new studies, and I'm one of them. But at one point you have to decide to do something, and I think if we can help to move the whole who is issue forward, then we would have done our job.
Okay, thank you. Tony.
Yes, well, just getting to these paragraphs by Wendy. I can see her point of view and those who support her, of course. I do think that it can be, the argument can be actually turned around and put in the other direction, because there were very convincing studies during the previous years of arguments which really showed that access to this information was vital for a lot of people who actually had the, perhaps the difficult job of protecting those same individuals who were supposedly being victimized by having their data exposed. So I think it really is a questionable argument in its substance. And nonetheless, I do think that the fact that Wendy's comments appear to be supported by the two incumbent constituencies, the R&Rs, the registries and the registrars, and the NCUC, brings us to the same historical situation which we've had in the council since WHOIS has been debated, which started back in 2001. And so if it goes to any type of vote as to what, whether we should do studies or not, the vote will obviously favor the position of no. So my question is there any point in continuing this discussion on possible studies until we get that cleared up by the council? I mean, will there be support for studies or not, is the question right now.
Right. Thanks, Tony. I want to make just a quick comment, and then we'll go to Steve and anybody else. I think we are trying to wrap this up, and I think this conversation and if we have another call on the 20th, this is, the report is due on the 22nd. It's to finalize the report, finalize the language, make sure everybody's comfortable with the way things are articulated, and move this to the council as an accurate reflection of what transpired here and everyone's viewpoint. So to those who are concerned that we're taking a step backward, I don't really see it that way. I do see that there, as always, we have Tony's, constituency's viewpoint now, and we want to add it. We have a change from Norbert and Robin, and we want to reflect it. So that's not really taking a step backward. It's just, making sure that, given these, this input that we reflected in the documents, which I think is fine, that we're all working at this point to get the document right and to make the points that we want to make so that the council has something to work with.
Liz, I wasn't suggesting we were taking a step backwards, rather sideways.
Yes, sideways. Well, there is always a worry about that with WHOIS and a lot of sensitivity, so I think we're trying hard to avoid that. Steve Del Bianco.
Hey, thanks, Liz. The first is that on last week's call, I was one who volunteered to help write Section 3, that's viewpoint number 2, explaining the rationale for why certain studies of WHOIS would be valuable and should be done. And while I did not get it done for this week, I did begun some of the drafting. Steve Metallis and I discussed it, and we will have it done, before the next call.
Great.
So sorry about that. And so with respect to viewpoint number 1, the one that Wendy began to articulate and that so many others on the call seem to agree with, I would suggest to you that that somehow avoids two important changes that have occurred that will increase the likelihood we may have to have yet another working group on WHOIS. And the first of those changes is the fact that the GAC so strongly asked ICANN's board for a series of studies on WHOIS. And the second is the fact that the market moved a lot faster than ICANN did. The market evolved privacy protection services like Proxy over the past couple of years that have taken off to the extent where people can shield their identity in WHOIS by using those services. In fact, the GAC recommendations for further studies, they list 11 of them. 6 of the 11 GAC studies are about proxy and privacy protection services. In the list that you have in front of you, 3 of the categories, and they contain the studies that I had suggested, as categories 3, 4, and 6 are about proxy registration services. Because it really isn't, as Wendy describes, some sort of preservation of status quo, because a status quo of ICANN policy does not mean a status quo of what the world is doing. The market has moved. And the proxy registration services enable people to shield their identity in ways that may be good for some people, but also frustrating both law enforcement and intellectual property parties who want to get at that data and try to do so by showing evidence of actionable harm. So studies categories 3, 4, and 6, we will argue, reflect the fact that the world has changed a lot faster than ICANN policy. There's no attempt here to block anything. There's an attempt here to actually explore whether the market has moved in a way that's constructive or a way that inhibits the ability to protect consumers by being able to get at the data of who owns a domain where illegal activity is occurring. Thank you.
Steve, I think it's very helpful for you to describe a little bit, both Steve, about what you are on this call, what you're going to say in your section, because I think it would be perhaps useful for those who share Wendy's view to take that into consideration and consider adding text that would respond to those points if you choose to. But I think at least that gives you the chance to consider, because I think there, particularly with regard to, well, both really, but this long list from the GAC, I mean, there's definitely going to be further discussion at the board level. You know, that's just my own opinion, but given the fact that it is, you know, an extensive advisory from the GAC, to perhaps consider speaking to that specifically in your statement. So I do want to make sure that we take the next week, or I would encourage both perspectives, both viewpoints, to consider taking the next week to think about if there's more that you want to say overall to supporting your perspective and to conveying to the council, you know, what you think next steps should be as a result.
Steve, I'll just finish up then on that point. I just went into an explanation of why Steve and I will argue that categories 3, 4, and 6 are studies that should be done, since they enable us to assess the extent, scope, and upside-downside of increased proxy registration for privacy protection services. In other words, a marketplace trend that trumps all policy, and to understand whether it really is consistent with the policy we have and the RAA. But in addition, I believe that Steve and I will also suggest that category number 1 on misuse should be done as a level set, particularly in light of the priority that the GAC gave it. And then finally, we would also take a look at category 5, which is the impact of who is on crime and abuse. I'm not a particular fan of the way Milton Mueller sort of constructed that study, but that category contains some good inquiries into the crime and abuses that occur in phishing. So just to summarize, we'll probably suggest that the misuse category 1, be done as a level set. 3, 4, and 6 be done because of the proxy evolution. And finally, number 5, anyway, to check on the impact of who is in stopping crime and abuse.
Other discussion?
This is Lee Elgin. I'd like to be in the queue. I have one comment.
Anyone else before I turn to Lee? Okay, Lee, please.
Just a question for the NCUC representatives. I mean, I note that originally they had prioritized studies. So when it comes to drafting viewpoint number 2 in the report to go to the GNSO, does the NCUC or Robin and Norbert, do you want your initial prioritization reflected in what's put together? I mean, I see to some extent your priorities are, at least in some cases, aligned with the priorities expressed by Steve Metallitz and me and Steve Del Bianco, for instance. You had prioritized Category 1 very high and likewise had prioritized Category number 6, compliance with law enforcement and dispute resolution.
Okay, may I respond, Norbert?
Yes, please, Norbert.
Yeah. I'm really sorry that, as I wrote last time, our position to give categories was on the misunderstanding that definitely studies will be made. So with this assumption, studies will be made, we categorize them. But when it is the question, study or no study, it is very clear we take the position that we should not have studies now, basically in the line, as Randy Shelter said.
So I understand, you don't want your prioritization of studies reflected in the report?
Yes, that is the case, and I'm really sorry that I created this misunderstanding.
You know, in part,
because
I don't
what,
think it's...
What
a,
you
I,
said, what,
the misunderstanding,
what
though, I think is an evolution of... sorry, I won't interrupt. Norbert, you go ahead, please.
No, I just wanted to say... if the question is yes or no studies, then it is definitely a no. But I mean, it's a complex procedure we are facing now. Studies or no studies. After a decision has been made, there would be studies. Then only I think the question comes up how to sort the priorities, and only at that point our opinion might be interesting again. But when it is a question, studies or no studies, it is really along the lines also of what Wendy Schultz wrote for the present time.
Right. This is Lee. If I can just respond, and this isn't yes. this isn't directed at you, Norbert, or Robin, or the NCUC, but kind of dovetailing with what Steve DelBianco said, I mean, you know, I'm a bit of a newcomer to this group, and I don't intend to you know, put forth comments that are particularly divisive. But the problem I have with the position that no further studies are warranted, and in particular with Wendy's rationale for it, is that, you know, Wendy's stated rationale is that that is in my view, a cynical one, that, you know, that because of the apparent, you know, intractable position of the respective constituencies, you know, no matter what data we come up with, you know, those positions aren't going to change. In my opinion, you know, and you know, I think I really believe that that is a vote for the status quo, because without further data, without further objectivity brought into this debate, I don't see how the party's views are going to change, nor do I see how there's any possibility of consensus policy. So I just do not follow the logic of Wendy and those who support the view that no further studies are necessary or warranted, because inherently I believe that, you know, nothing's going to change as a result.
This is David Mopper. Can I get in the queue?
Sure. Others in the queue?
You, DelBianco.
Others? Okay, David?
Well, I guess I'm also guilty of the cynicism, because the registry's constituency supports Wendy's statement. And I think earlier you asked for volunteer to put that statement in the final report, which I would be happy to do, because it does reflect the registry's view. And the reason for the view is the intractable position. The business intellectual property constituencies over the years have refused completely to recognize any interest in a right to privacy or personal data. And with that intractable position, it doesn't seem to me that a study of anything with ICANN's money is going to help change the ultimate outcome. If and when the business intellectual property and any other constituencies that believe that something should be done about who is, if and when they support a fundamental right to the protection of personal privacy, then we can move forward. Then we can compromise on issues of giving law enforcement access to the data, trademark interests, getting access to the data, and so on. But until that happens, more studies about any of the subjects that have been raised really aren't getting us anywhere. And if that's cynicism, so be it.
So, Dave, just one clarifying question. When you said you volunteer to write that Section 2, you have Wendy's as a foundation. You would expand on that, or just want to clarify how you would proceed?
I think it's a beautifully articulated statement, and as far as I'm concerned, I would just, if there's some grammatical or anything like that, I'd correct that. But
right.
I would express it as the position of the registry's constituency.
Thank you. Steve?
But Wendy's statement has the beauty of simplicity, and we've all heard it before, this notion that if one party wants to preserve the status quo, it can block the achievement of consensus. So that could be true of all working groups. So we're going to have to figure a way to get past issues like that if we want the working group model to succeed under GNSO.
That's
so
right.
That, I would say that if you look at the consumer protection and intellectual property interests, among which I'd include myself, you could suggest that we have some intractable position, that privacy was not as important as consumer protection or brand protection. But it's sort of irrelevant whether we were intractable or not, since the market has moved on. Consumers today do exercise the right to privacy, as David talked about. Whether I acknowledge it or not is not important. They do exercise the right to privacy by shielding their registrant data through the use of proxy registration services. It's already happened. And to pretend that it didn't happen and that this is some fight over an old policy position is really begging the question. Because what I fear more than anything else is having to do this again. Because the GAC's request to ICANN's board for a series of studies, and as I indicated earlier, 6 of their 11 studies have to do with proxy. So if ICANN's board turns to GNSO Council and says, here, what do you guys say on Council about these further studies of WHOIS that have been requested by the GAC? Well, I can just hear it now. A GNSO resolution calling for yet another study group, and another working group to take a look at the GAC's recommendations. We're going to be right back here having this conversation, and it really won't be a conversation about somebody dragging their feet to guard policy. It'll be a conversation on how the world has changed and whether that change properly respects privacy and in what regard does it allow bad actors to actually shield themselves from appropriate consumer protection and brand protection. Thank you.
Other comments or discussion?
Yes. It is always difficult to come back with old stories, and we have a changing membership, of course. I mean, part of the situation we are facing is that this is dragging on for so many years. We thought once we have a vote, the vote it was decided, and I think this was the only case in my memory in ICANN context that after a vote it was said, now we have to start it again. So this is part of the emotional side of it, and persons who have not gone through this for years, I understand that they maybe do not see it so much. Then the second question, whether the market and the situation has changed. I think, yes, there are certain changes. But privacy protection is offered by some situations as an exception or as something which you have to ask for, while other people and some legislations in some countries assume that privacy protection is the default, only the other way around, that the privacy protection is opened up, can be made on special requests. I mean, this is, I think, very fundamental difference, and I don't see that the market or the world has very much changed in this respect, whether privacy is a default or whether it's a special grant by ICANN or by somebody else.
Gosh, it sounds like you're arguing for categories 3 and 4 to assess the availability and the demands and motivation for proxy service.
Agree.
Yeah. We had this before we voted a couple of years ago.
David.
Support.
David?
No, I think Norbert's absolutely right. The fact of proxy registration simply supports the public demand for protection of privacy. But the real problem is that this has been an issue now for at least, I think, 12 years that I'm aware of. And there is still a fundamental issue, which I don't think the previous speakers have addressed, and that is there any value to personal privacy? Once that is acknowledged, then we can move forward. But arguing about the ways people want to protect their privacy at this point is not an issue that needs more study.
Other comments today?
This is Lee Elgin. May I get back in the queue?
And Steve Metallis.
Lee and who else?
Steve Metallis.
Steve. Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Lee?
Just one quick comment regarding what David and Norbert have said. I mean, I actually think, and maybe Steve Del Bianco, you already mentioned this, but I actually think that precisely the point that you two are arguing for suggests that, as Steve said, that categories, you know, categories 3 and 4 of potential study have merit. I mean, it seemed to me, David, that exactly what you were just saying suggested that the demand and motivation for privacy services should be explored. But really, the reason I wanted to get in the queue was not to make that point. It was just to ask those who are not in favor of further study, in other words, trying to understand what's going to be in viewpoint one of the report, is there going to be any basis articulated for no further study other than what Wendy has expressed?
Yes,
Robert.
Well, what I tried to express by the proposition whether privacy protection is a default or an exception. I think this is fundamental, and we have argued this a long time ago and have voted on it, and I don't see that there is anything new in the present discussion, in spite of proxy services and so on.
David, I agree with that. And in response to the question, it's possible that there are, off the top of my head, I'd say it's a waste of money, among other things, to do further studies. But I'm not limiting the arguments that might be made against further studies from other people.
I guess this is Lee again. I just thought my thought was it seemed that, you know, those in favor of viewpoint one that's to be expressed in the report have sort of rallied around Wendy's stated rationale, one basis of which is that it's a purported waste of money. I just feel that if there are other bases that are going to be included in viewpoint one, that those should at least be aired. I think, Liz, that was the reason that you were asking, you know, those who are going to be the primary drafters to kind of express, you know, that you felt it was important for those who are going to be the primary drafters to express, you know, what was contemplated to
yes.
To go into the
yes.
each viewpoint. And I just felt like if there were going to be, you know, positions taken in addition to what Wendy said, you know, those should at least be aired. But, it seemed to me that really Wendy's synopsis seemed to be the far and away the you know, the sort of the crux of the position taken by those in support of viewpoint one.
Yeah, I don't think we have everyone on the call today who's associating themselves with viewpoint one, but that's my impression so far, is that we're not going to get further edits to viewpoint one. But if people have edits, it's very important to bring them forward quickly so that everyone has a chance to respond. I can send an updated draft. I'll send one after this call with a slightly edited version of Wendy's statement in it. And then once Steve have provided the alternative for Section 3, I'll insert that. We'll keep circulating it. But please give any other additional edits and particular arguments. Contribute those as soon as possible. I still have Steve Metallic in the queue. Is there anybody else?
Steve Del Bianco.
Okay. Others? Okay, Steve M?
Yeah, just three quick points. First, you may not have received them yet, but I think Tim Ruiz had some edits to Wendy's text, so you'll, presumably those will arrive.
I still don't have Tony's vote yet. I don't know what's going on with my email.
Second, I think the one thing that we in the group that's writing the other part of this report will need from you is the updated tally sheet. Because we don't want to misstate what people's
okay, I'll send that out today too.
Also, okay, so if you could do that would be great.
Sure.
Third, I would just don't want the record to fail to reflect that I disagree with what David Maher says about the members of my constituency and others. Not acknowledging the right to personal privacy. I think that is not only untrue, but also not constructive, this process. David's viewpoint is that before we can say anything about studies, we have to pass a litmus test of being appropriately dedicated to personal privacy. I think that's out of place, and I also think there's no basis for saying that our constituency does not recognize the importance of personal privacy. Thank you.
David, I'd like to get in the queue.
Okay, I've got Steve next and then David. Others? Okay, Steve Del Bianco.
I'll defer if David wants to address Steve.
David, sure.
Well, I think the record speaks for itself. The documents that have been filed in his proceedings over the years, I have not acknowledged a right to personal privacy. I remember in particular the one that was done regarding the European Union data directives, and the conclusion was that the European Union required the publication of personal data without any protection of personal privacy. But that's neither here nor there. I'm sorry you feel that this is not constructive, but I think there is a matter of principle, and if in fact the intellectual property constituency now acknowledges the value of personal privacy, subject to whatever limitations you want to put on it, say so. There have been abundant opportunities to do that, and I have yet to see anything from the constituency that makes that acknowledgement. I'm flabbergasted that in this telephone call, for the very first time in 12 years, I hear a representative of the IP constituency acknowledging that there is such a thing as the protection of personal privacy.
Thank you. Steve? Steve?
Thank you. In articulating support for studies 3, 4, and 6, I would very much like to echo what Lee said and sort of pick up on Norbert's suggestion that, yes, the market has changed, and that you're very concerned about what the default is that when a registrant puts a name in, let's say they use a registrar like GoDaddy, does the privacy service come up in the shopping cart by default, or does the privacy service have to be selected by the consumer? That's sort of what I'm paraphrasing, Norbert, what you've said there. And I think it's important for me to put that into our Section 3, because I think it shows why even someone who says no to all studies, that part of the rationale includes legitimate questions that would be answered by studies like 3 and 4, categories 3 and 4. So my question to you, Norbert, is that do you want to put some of that in writing, or would it be all right for us to paraphrase what we heard on today's call?
Well, I think we had it in the call, and it will be in the recording. And if you include it, just set now into your draft, I think this is very welcome. I think it's not necessary that it's stated twice or so. The default question.
Thank you. So if I paraphrase in a way that didn't capture your personal sentiment, you had it at that point.
Okay, other comments today?
Liz, it's Steve Del Bianco. I would love to hear what David, Eric, and others would answer to the question, how do we just simply ignore the GACS request to the board? Aren't we begging for yet another study group? How do people feel about that?
Well, this is David. I don't think we are begging for another study group. And the GAC has a lot of interest. I don't feel it necessary to grant every request for any kind of action by the GAC, provided there is a adequate answer to what they've asked for. And I think in this case, what the GAC has voted for is not supported by what the at least the registries and non-commercial constituency have stated. I'm not saying that we're ignoring the GAC, but I don't think we have to just as a knee-jerk say, oh, the GAC wants it, we'll do it.
Anyone else have any feelings about whether and how we should acknowledge the likelihood that the board will now ask council to react to the GAC's request?
Well, my crystal ball is no better than yours. Frankly, if another study group was formed after the it wouldn't surprise me. I was, have to confess, somewhat surprised by the fact that this particular working group was formed after the abandonment of hope on finding a compromise in the preceding who is procedure. The point really is that after all of this history, and for those of us who've been involved in it for the full 12 years or 10 years or whatever, it's no longer a surprise that the thing just keeps on going. And that's why I think Wendy's position is so well stated. There is just a fundamental difference. It's not just a difference of opinion. It's fundamental beliefs and values. And as I say, as long as that chasm in values exists, I find it really pointless to have more working groups, studies, PDPs, what have you. They're just not, you're just going to repeat the same tiresome arguments that I've heard now for many, many years.
Other comments? We're getting to the top of the hour.
It's Steve Delganico. I have one more.
Sure.
I'm only involved in WHOIS now for a year and a half, so I don't bear the scars that so many of you on the call have. But what I witnessed last year and a half, we sort of concluded this debate between OPOC and status quo, and that concluded...
Hello?
Can we just lose Steve?
I think
so. Yeah. Yeah, I also have an email here from Eric Brunner-Williams. I don't know.
That's why I thought it was appropriate for us to be concerned.
Hey, Steve, you're cutting out for some reason. We can't hear you. So we're going to need to try to capture Steve's additional comment online because we're clearly not. We've got some audio problems. He came in briefly, so I know he's still on the call. But are there any other comments? Okay, so in conclusion, I am, by the end of the day, going to update the tally and insert Wendy's language in the draft report. Participants on the call, Steve and Steve, for one, are going to submit the language for Section 3, and hopefully with time, and others who want to add anything to Section 2, or for that matter, Section 1, should feel free to do so. We've got one more call on the 20th before the deadline of the 22nd. I think the purpose of that call should just be to touch base about the the report itself and any other changes, inclusions, or additions we want to make to it. And I'd like to see us try to resolve on the listserv this week the inserted text so that we can just have a quick call on the 20th to finalize the document. Any other suggestions for moving forward? Or oh, and then there is still the Iris and Crisp question out there, and I've been kind of trying to get to the SAC to get some input and support to talk to you all further about that. I think there's still hope, but it's just been slow. We could try to do that for the 20th as well if I can get closure from them, and intend to finalize the report on the 22nd. Is there anything else we need to do or that anyone wants to bring up in terms of business on this topic? Okay, great. Let's talk briefly on the 20th. Hopefully, let's see some text online this week. And let me know if you have any other changes or requests to make on the report itself. Okay, thank you all very much.
Thank you.